Checkmate.
This is the Chestnut Checkers Podcast.
Checkmate.
Learn a new mindset to create wealth.
We need to be more independent thinkers, man.
Passive income.
Mathematics is precise.
A successful business.
Chess moves.
And money management strategies.
This is Chestnut Checkers.
All right, so this is another set of Strategy Sunday, right? So we're going to talk about some possible strategies coming up this week. And also coming up for the next few weeks, right? Because the stock market is looking like it may, you know, it may be a short-term crash. But I talked about this before. I said, if Biden gets elected, there's going to be a short-term crash after he gets elected, right? And, you know, to be honest, it's hard to judge what's going to happen with this election, right? And the reason is because there's so many unknowns. There's a lot of unknowns here, right? It's because, I mean, didn't Trump get sick this week? I mean, we don't know how this is going to affect elections. I have no idea, right? We have the added, bonus of last time the polls saying that Trump was going to lose and he won anyway. So we don't really know what's going on. So what happens in a market is that stock markets don't like uncertainty. They don't like uncertainty. So a lot of times when there's uncertainty, the markets will bounce back and forth, which is what we've been seeing the last couple of weeks, right? We've been seeing that. That's common, right? But so regardless of what happens after the election, the market will take a direction, and then it will probably, if there's no big economic crisis, it'll continue to bull market. But, you know, what could happen is that Corona could get worse and whatever, you know, so we don't really know. It's kind of hard to judge it. But if I was just going to pick what was going to happen over the next 6 months, this is what I say would happen. I would say that what's going to happen is after the elections is going to be a crash. And then right around January, mid-January, they're going to start buying back, because they got what happens is that people are going to sell their stocks. If Biden wins, they're going to sell their stocks in late December to save on taxes. If you guys that took my class, the mentorship people, we talked about that in the last mentorship session about how you can harvest your losses to save money on taxes, right? That's a pro trader technique in which you go through your portfolio, you sell some of the stocks you're going to take a loss on to lower your tax burden for that given year. So a lot of people do that at the end of the year, a lot of pro traders, but I told that to the mentorship people because I want them to understand how they can lower that tax burden, because taxes are a very, very big part of trading that a lot of people don't understand. And a lot of you guys are very, very new in trading. You're new in stocks. You don't understand how the stock market is going to affect you. Some people out there are thinking, I'm not going to pay my taxes. Oh, you're going to pay them. Because you got to understand, every time you trade a stock, every time you buy a stock, the government gets a copy. They know exactly what you're doing. They know your profit and losses, right? So at the end of the year, if you don't report it voluntarily, it's going to take about 2-3 years. And they're going to catch you. And they're gonna make you pay back penalties and all this stuff. It's like the mafia, right? If you don't pay the mafia, they catch you holding out on, what do? They beat you up and take it anyway. So that's what the government does, right? If you don't pay them, they're gonna make you pay worse. So you're gonna pay, right? And a lot of beginning traders don't think they're gonna, I'm not gonna pay all the, you better make sure you understand strategy when it comes to trading stocks. That's a big, big deal, man. A lot of my mentorship people, I tell them all the time, like, you know, they're making $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, you know, off a $2,000, $3,000 investment. You know, some of the classes we've been teaching, some of the techniques we've been teaching, I always tell them, I say, look, you got to understand what the tax benefit is. Because some of the dudes in my mentorship program up $50,000 so far, you know. And like, these are guys that never traded before. These are guys that, you know, have never done anything like this before. And I'm like, look, man, Uncle Sam's going to take maybe if you're lucky, 10,000 of that, if you're lucky, maybe more. And you have to prepare for that now. You have to understand how that works now. You got to start preparing for it now, because you have to understand how the taxes work, because it's based on year. You got 2 more months. You got 2 more months before you got to have this stuff in order. Because once the year's over, that's it. It don't matter. You can't go back in time. You can't go back in the past and fix stuff. You got to have it all done by the end of the year. If not, you can lose. The tax burden could be huge, right? And we tell a story, and I'll tell you one of the saddest stories I've ever heard, right? And I'm going to tell you this story, and it's because of a person who did not understand the tax laws. And the government don't care if you understand it or not. They don't care. They want their money. They're the mafia, right? They want the money. They don't care if you knew or not. The mafia don't care if you didn't know that this wasn't a mafia-controlled area. They want the money regardless. IRS the same way. So you got to respect the IRS, right? So there's a story, and I told you guys about this. Some of you guys in my mentorship program heard this story a couple of times. I always tell it because it's a scary, scary story. Now, one of my accountants told me a while back a story of a guy. So he was in, and I may mix the story up, but you know, the gist of it is here. So it was a guy, he was partying the day before New Year's night, right? He was going nuts. He was having a party. So he puts the $20 token in a big slot machine. One of the, you know, the big ones in the middle that have the big $100,000 grand prize. Dude pulls it, wins the $100,000 grand prize, right? So he immediately goes, you know, they don't pay you. It doesn't come out of the machine, right? You have to have people got to come over. They got to verify and stuff. They took the dude in the back room, whatever, and they gave him a check or a voucher. I don't know what the story was. So the dude at that time decides, I want to keep my luck going. I don't want a check or a voucher. Give it back in tokens. I mean, whatever, chips. So they gave it back to him in chips. At that time, that's a taxable event. You just received the money. That's it. The government sees it same as you receive cash. They don't. That's all they see, right? So the dude went over that night into the next night, New Year's Day, spent all the money, right? Lost it all, right? $100,000. So an average person would think, I lost it. I don't owe anything on that, right? That's what most people would think. That's not true. Oh, the government? No, that's not true. Because the government sees it as, in that previous tax year, you made $100,000. You lost it the next tax year. You lost it the next year. So you owe us that 25% of that $100,000 just as if it was regular income. I don't care what you did with the last year. You got to handle that next year. You owe us that 25 now. And it ended up, you can't only write off so much losses. So it ended up, the guy ended up winning that $100,000, ruined that dude's life. It ruined it. He never came back. He was in depression. It ruined his life. Winning $100,000 ruined his life. He never saw a dime of it. So that's the reason why you got to be careful. The government don't care. They don't care if you knew or not, right? So you got to be careful. The years, how it works is very, especially from you guys. Some of you guys are here that are in my mentorship program. Some of you guys have taken my class. Some of you guys have made a lot of money this year. You got to understand it before the end of the year. You got 2 months and then it's over. And you can't go back. You can't fix it. You can't generate new documents. You got to understand it now. You can't, on stocks, you can't let them take the taxes out now. You're responsible for that. You can't say take the taxes. That don't work like that. That's job stuff. That's people working. When you're an investor, when you're a businessman, when you're a trader, you gotta handle that. And it's actually better for you to do it anyway, to be honest, because why give the tax man the money when you should be able to handle that yourself? You give it to him, he's gonna be and you overpay, he's gonna have a loan for the next 12 months, give it back to you at no interest. You can make interest on that money while you have it. So you have to control that. It's part of money managing strategies. You have to understand how all that works, right? You can't say, oh, let them take it out, man. That's the easy way out. That's the bad way out. That's the way that you're going to lose money by doing it. You got to do it the smart way. You got to understand the tax laws, and you have to understand how you can make the most money or preserve as much money as possible. Right? Let's talk a little bit about stocks, right? I just wanted to start off with that. Let's talk a little bit about some stocks that I think, let's talk about next week, maybe tomorrow, maybe Tuesday. And let's talk about what's going to happen over the next 3 to 4, 5, 6 months, right? So we know that Trump took some experimental medicine. Now, I've never heard it. I've only heard it written. So it's Remdesivir, I think that's what it is. But he took an experimental drug, right? So what's happening now is that Trump seems like he's you know, you can't really trust what comes out of the White House anymore. I mean, truth is getting real fluid now, so it's hard to believe what's coming out. But nevertheless, he took a drug, right? So it don't really matter, really, if he, you know, because what happened is that he drew attention to that drug. Whenever to any company that has attention always is able to capitalize on it, right? So that company is going to explode tomorrow morning. So for those of you who are in the mentorship program, for those of you who took my momentum class, you understand how to play that, right? So we can watch momentum in the morning. The company's name is Regeneron Pharmaceuticals. It was down on Friday about 1 or 2%. But It's probably going to go up Monday morning. I don't, between 10 and 50%. Somewhere in there, it's going to go up in the morning, right? And the thing about it is that the futures are already up. The last I checked, let me check the futures. So if you guys don't know what the futures are, so the futures are a little bit ahead of the stock market, and it's kind of a leading indicator on what's going to happen in the market in the morning, right? So the futures are just, if you know what options are, well, futures are the same thing, except you have to buy the assets instead of you only have the options to. It's the same thing. But futures trading starts a little earlier than the stock market, so it's already up. It's up 108. The NASDAQ's up 108. So what's probably going to happen is the market's going to be up. So Regeneron is going to be up about between 10 and 50% in the morning. Now, it's going to probably do what's called a gap up. So you may not be able to catch it that are, you know, but when the market opens, it's already going to be up already. That's a gap up. But that's one of the check marks we have for the momentum strategy, right? We got the catalyst event, gap up, momentum, verify momentum. That's one of the things, right? So that's one of that's one of the things we look for. So what could happen in the morning is we have to check momentum. If it keeps going up about it, you know, into 9:30, 10:30, 11:30, we may need to jump in, do an option call on that stock, right? We can make some quick money. So that's what I'm probably going to do in the morning. And and you guys in the Chestnut Checkers room, or I'll tell you if I do. I used to put my trades on my Instagram, but I don't do it anymore because I'd rather give it to people in my Chestnut Checkers community, which is a closed community. If you guys want the link to that, just DM me. That's where we put all our trades at now, because these are engaged people, people who understand what's going on, people who, you know, understand the market. So I'm a lot more comfortable putting those links in that room or those trades in that room. So that's my play for the morning, right? And I think that's going to be a pretty good play, right? If it happens, I could be wrong. Maybe it won't go up in the morning, but it probably will. Like I said, I'm not 100% right, but I'm about 85% right. You guys been following me, you understand that. You know that I was right about Zoom and nobody else talked about it. I was right about a lot of stocks when nobody else talked about it. Right? Nobody else was. When I said Zoom was going to go up a lot, people said I was crazy. When I said Amazon was going to go up at 1,800, now it's at 3,000. People said I was crazy. Now I'm saying Snow's going to go up. People saying I'm crazy, right? Oh, man, Snow's going down. It's going to 100, but now it's still going up. I'm telling you right now, you know, Snow is going to go up. But let's talk a little bit about what could possibly happen in the midterm, you know, short midterm, right after the election on, right? Because what it looks like now, is that it looks like we're in the middle of going at the beginning parts of a bull market. After Corona, the market dropped about 35%. Then it went and it recovered past. Now it's past where it was, right? And now it looks like we're back in bull market territory, which means it traditionally bull markets have lasted 2 to 3 to 4 years, right? But this is a different bull market because there's two things that's hovering over us that could cause short-term drops. One is the Corona crisis. Two is the economy that's caused by Corona, but I guess it's two separate entities now. So they could affect the bull market and they could possibly pull it down, but it kind of looks like a bull market's forming or is already in the middle of a formation and we're already in it, right? So based on that thinking, right? And like I said, as a trader, as a businessman, as an entrepreneur, sometimes you kind of try to predict the future and capitalize on it. But other times you have to be able to react to what's happening and change your thinking based on what's happening. A lot of people can't do that, right? So if new facts come in a month from now, I'll change my thinking, right? But now what I'm thinking is that it looks like a bull market's forming. You got those two things hovering over us that could stop it. Those could stop it pretty bad and cause a temporary drop, right? So with that thinking, what I'm thinking about is, you guys know I'm heavily in the snow. I'm moving heavily. I got a lot in the snow right now because I really believe snow is going to be a very strong stock in the future, right? Because we got a cloud computing revolution going on right now. If you guys don't understand what cloud computing is, it's a move from right now. If you look at your computer, right, you look at your desktop, you look at your phone, these are all computing devices. Right now, it's all local, right? But you got to understand, a lot of it's moving to what's called the cloud. The cloud is just remote computers somewhere else, right? That everybody uses at once. And what's real funny is that when computing first started in the 60s, 70s, this was the model, right? You know, you had to pay for computer time. You know, you would dial in and you would use the computer because computers are so expensive back then that you would do, you would have to buy time. It was like a timeshare computer back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And then, you know, desktop computers came out and kind of took that away and moved it to the home. But now we're going back to that model, right? Is that where these powerful computers are remote and we're using them, right? So when, and you guys know my background is in technology, so I know these things well. So whenever you use Alexa, whenever you use Google Voice, Google, oh, I don't know what the brand name for that is, but whenever you use Google, whenever you use Alexa, what happens is that it takes what you're saying, it sends it off to a remote computer, and it comes back with the answer. That's why if you don't have internet service, that stuff doesn't work. And it's a big, powerful AI machine that reads our voices and returns the answers, right? So everything is going to eventually move to the cloud. That's the way, when internet speed's getting faster and faster, with AI becoming a big deal in the world, is that cloud computing is going to take a stronger and stronger and stronger a position in our lives, right? So that the cloud computing is going to be huge, man. Yeah, I triggered my own phone too. I can't say that. So we got three players right now. We got Amazon, and people don't know Amazon is big on cloud computing, and people don't know that about Amazon. Amazon has AWS service, and it's got Amazon Web Services, and a lot of big companies use Amazon Web Services. You know, a lot of big corporations use Amazon Web Services as cloud computing. And then we got Snow, which is a new company coming into this, right? So they got a lot of room to grow. And then you got Microsoft, which is an old player, but they're moving into cloud computing hard. So, and you guys know I own some Microsoft, I own some Amazon. Now I'm putting a big position in the Snow. And that's why I believe in Snow. That's why I think Snow is gonna be a big, big player eventually, right? So people saying I'm crazy right now. A lot of people, and you gotta think about it. There's a lot of people on Instagram talking about stocks right now. And I bet you nobody, most of those dudes, they like stick to most of the blue stocks, the blue chip stocks. Stocks that, you know, are going to go up pretty much. It may not go up by that much, but it's going to go up. I'm the only one talking about Snow. I'm the only one. And as far as I know, maybe it's somebody else out there. As far as I know, I'm the only one talking about it, right? But Snow is going to be kind of a sleeper, right? Because people aren't going to realize it until it's too late. That's why Warren Buffett saw it early. And actually, I wish I could have got in at the real price, because the real price, it was supposed to be $85, which got me kind of mad, because they got greedy, man. They got greedy. Like, it was supposed to be $85. I guess they didn't get greedy, but it was supposed to start at $85, and they moved up to one. Now it's like $200, you know. Man, I wish I could have got in at the $85, but that's okay. So let's talk a little bit about some more stocks that are going to be big players here soon. I like the way the world's becoming. This is what was predicted when I was, you guys know my background's in tech, software engineering. That's what I studied in college. And I remember when I was in college, you know, young dude, 21, 22 years old, I was sitting in college, man. And you know, they would have these stories and stuff, you know, in your classes, like one day, this is how this is going to be one day. You know, these stories is in your textbooks. So I was reading this textbook story, and it said, one day, all jobs will eventually be computer-based jobs. All jobs. So everything will eventually be computer science. And so finally, that's gone, because AI will take over everything. So that's going to be the last job. Tech will be the last job that any of us ever do before true AI, which is artificial intelligence for real, takes over. That's going to be the last job. So everybody will eventually be pushed to tech jobs. Everybody with enough time. That's why it's so important for a lot of young people to go ahead and get into it now, because that's what you're going to be in anyway. It don't matter what you do. Eventually, it's going to be a tech job. All jobs will eventually be replaced with technology. Every single job on the planet with enough time, right? So why not jump on technology now? Because that's good. That you'll be right. You'll be ahead of the curve, right? So one important industry I always tell a lot of young people to get into is cybersecurity. cybersecurity is a huge, huge deal. You got to remember, it's becoming a much bigger need now. Because it used to be a time that only big companies had to use cybersecurity. For you girls, you don't know what cybersecurity is. It's just the method and the process and the business of blocking intrusions into a company, like intrusions into company's data and systems. That's basically what it is, right? So if a company has a system, data, for example, they don't want somebody breaking in and stealing it. They don't want people stealing employee records, stealing customer records, hacking the database, you know, doing what's called, there's different attacks you can do. It's a big, every place that there's a computer, there's a need for cybersecurity. Because it used to be a time that the hackers would only attack big companies, but now they're getting desperate because the big companies have gotten smart. So now they're attacking anybody they can, which is scary. They attack little people, one-man shops. They don't care. That's why cybersecurity is becoming a very, very big need now. And there's a lot of companies that are into that, right? One was Datadog, and we talked about that. You know, Datadog was a big one, and it's up a little bit since I told you guys about it, but it's still going to go up a little bit more. But there's a big one out there. There's a big one that I've been researching called Palo Alto Networks. And the reason why, if you guys been following me, you know, about a month ago, we had a conversation on revenue streams. And we talked about one of the best revenue streams was subscription-based because it's recurring, right? So you can it's easier to predict what your revenue is going to be. It's easier to project based on that. It's easier to grow your membership as opposed to drawing in new customers. Remember, subscription is the best revenue stream you could possibly have in a company, in most companies, right? Because it's almost guaranteed money, or mostly guaranteed. But so Palo Alto Networks is a cybersecurity company with a subscription base, or they're converting to subscription base, right? They also have hardware too, but that's a sleeper that people aren't talking about. That's a sleeper, is that I believe that Palo Alto Networks, Palo Alto, P-A-L-O-A-L-T-O Networks. Like I said, I don't know what the stock symbol is. I have to look it into it. And those two companies are in that industry, right? Datadog, Palo Alto Networks. Those two are in that industry, and those two are the bigger, some of the most interesting players in that industry. So, like based on my history in tech, I can understand the thinking that these companies are going to grow substantially because of the need of cybersecurity right now. And you got to remember, man, it's a lot of things that normal people don't understand about. So, you know, you guys know I wrote actually about 3 or 4 years ago, I wrote one of the, CompTIA is one of the biggest certification companies in the world. And they called me in about 4 years ago. To write one of their certification exams or help, right? It was like 10 of us, but I helped write one of those, right? And that was when I was more into cybersecurity. Like I haven't been in it in the last 3 or 4 years. So I'm kind of, you know, so some of the new stuff I kind of don't get, but that was back when I was deeper into it, right? So, and that's what I did study in grad school. I studied cybersecurity, web security, software security, basically, but that's what I studied. But, and the last thing, right, is that I'm looking at. The other is Datadog and Palo Alto Networks. Those two. But the other thing, and you know, like if you guys notice that I do like tech companies a lot. Like a lot of my portfolio was tech. I diversified out of it a little bit with more Walmart and stuff like that. But I do like tech. That's something I understand, right? I really understand that. And that's where a lot of the money is, to be honest. Somebody said, "What certs do you have?" I don't have any certs anymore. I used to have the Master of Application Security and Master of Mobile App Security, but I don't have those. They expired like last year, so I don't have any certifications right now. So, and the last thing that I'm looking into, it's financial technology. For short, it's called fintech, right? Fintech is a growing industry right now, and that includes Bitcoin, includes cryptocurrency. That's not all of it, but that's a part of it, right? It includes companies like Mint, if you guys do use Mint. It includes companies like Cash App. It includes companies like Robinhood. Financial technology, man. And that's where, you know, what's happening with the world and the way millennials think in a way, and to be honest, it's also partly to do with the growing divide between the rich and the poor, is that now people want easier banking services. Because people, to be honest, people don't have money like they used to, which is sad, really, which is sad. But we have to react to the world the way it is, right? We can fight to change it, but you have to react to the world the way it is. And you just see how it is, right? And that's why, if you've noticed over the last 10, 20 years, that banking is kind of changing, right? It used to be a time that you'd open a bank account, you had to have so much money in there, you had, you know, people had better jobs, people made more money in relation to what they wanted in life, right? So, and you can go back to, let's say, the 80s, right? The early 80s, late 70s. The average man could afford a four-bedroom house, you know, by himself with no other income. That's impossible now. And that's what I'm talking about, is that the relative incomes are going down, right? So what's happening over time is we're making less money. We're becoming a gig economy, which is, and that's scary, right? And people don't realize, you have to understand the history of economics, the history of financial systems, to understand what's happening right now. A lot of people see this gig economy. Everybody has their own business. Everybody is hustling on the side. They're doing Uber. They're doing Uber Eats. They're doing these hustles. Everybody has their own little business. And a lot of people would say, man, that's a good thing, right? That's a good thing that all these people are entrepreneurs. Everybody's doing their own thing. Everybody's a one-man company. And that seems on the surface like a good thing, but it's not. And I'm going to tell you why. It's because if you go back 600 years ago, that's the way the world was back then. So we're actually degressing as a society. The company, the group of people working together to make, is not bad. It actually causes more wealth between each individual units. When people are working individually like that, like back 500 years ago, you got to remember, there was a blacksmith. There was there was somebody who sold eggs. There was a clothes person. There was an apprentice. There was a horseshoer. Back then, everybody was an entrepreneur, technically. The horseshoer was a technician. The dude that went, the manure man, and went and got the manure to put on crops, he was an entrepreneur. 500, 600 years ago, everybody was entrepreneurs, to be honest, right? That's how the world was. We're actually regressing back to that, to where everybody's their own separate business. There's nothing wrong with having your own business, nothing wrong with getting the success. But I'm just telling you, it's not a good thing when everybody's a one-man shop. It's not good for society. It's actually regressing. It actually causes a bigger divide between the rich and the poor. Because for example, the Uber workers, right? They have more mobility. They have more autonomy, you could say. But they don't have health insurance. They make less money than they did. I mean, you see what I'm saying? Is that actually if Uber was a company and they were employees, they'd all be better off. That's why they're pushing for to be employees, right? They're all technically considered entrepreneurs because they all work on 1099s. They're self-employed people. But it's not a good position to be in some cases. And that's what's happening to the world. So back to my original point, is I'm saying that's why banking is changing. It's in response to that. People don't have the money they used to have, you know, to have the bank accounts like historically we had, to have the financial services like we had historically. They need access to banking, but they don't have the money to do it. So that's where these apps like Cash App, these things come, I think it's another one called Chime. Chime is a good one too. Cash App, Chime. All these people are coming into those gaps where traditional banks can no longer serve regular people, right? And that's why fintech is going to be a very, very big thing in the future, right? And it's cryptocurrency is one. Ripple is a good one. Low friction, because what everybody's going for is now, if you look at it, is feeless, no fees. Frictionless money transfers. That's what everything's going to, right? Because in a bank, I mean, they got to charge you for everything. Where people don't want that anymore. Cash App, I can send you $50. They don't even charge me. You see what I'm saying? So that's where, you know, cash, that's where these companies are coming in to fill that void. And Square owns Cash App. Square owns Cash App, right? So the monthly users on Cash App go up. It's quadrupled to 30 million since 2000. So they've quadrupled their users in 2 years, right? So there's a good chance when they figure out how to drive more profit, because right now they sell Bitcoin on there, they do other stuff, but when they get enough users, the thing about having users when it comes to an app is that you'll eventually figure out how to make money on them, right? So they don't make a lot of money on Cash App right now, but they will eventually. They'll figure it out, right? They'll figure it out. So a stock I'm looking at, right? The stocks, you gotta remember, there's two types of stocks. Got stocks that I'm buying, and that would be Snow, Palo Alto Networks is probably I'm gonna buy. Cash App is one that I'm looking at. I'm not really on, and it's not into the buying phase yet, right? It's not into the buying phase, right? So, and I had a question earlier, and I just want to go ahead and address that. Somebody asked me, they said, hey, Armando, somebody wrote me a message on Instagram. And they said, Armando, if you had $2,000 today, what stocks would you buy? I said, well, $2,000, said, so I wouldn't have any money, because you got to be clear with these kinds of questions, man. Like, you know, like, would I still have the knowledge I got now? Or were, like, what would the whole situation be? And they're like, well, you know, your $2,000, you got your knowledge, you got, now you still got your age and knowledge of today, but all you got is $2,000 to spend. You know, y'all, and I said, well, what if my bills are taken care of? Yeah, your bills are taken care of. You just got the $2,000 to spend. I said, okay, well, what would I do with that? All right, if I had $2,000 today, what would I put it in? And then you got to think, now, do I need the money short term? See, it's a lot of, you know, a lot of variables here, short term or long term. Well, you know, let's say long term, right? I'm going to invest, try to make money over the long term. So if I had $2,000, this is what I would do. I would put $1,000 in the Snow. I would probably put $300 in the Neo. I would probably put $200 in the Data Dog, $200 in the Palo Alto. What does that give me? Seven. And I'll take the last $300 and put it in Amazon. And that's what I would probably do. Maybe a little bit more Neo. Maybe. And I would just hold it out for the long term. If I had, you know, I had $2,000 to spend. And like I said, I don't know what the stocks are, you know, how much they cost. So I'm just saying, just on average, you know, just what I would put it in if I could just split it up like that. So, all right, guys, I'll give you guys a chance to ask some questions, and then I'll let you guys go for the night. And like I said, we do have a mentorship program still, and I think Stephanie's one of the people in my mentorship program. She's one of the stars there. And so if you guys are interested in that, just DM me or click the link in my bio. We also got the Chestnut Checkers room, and that room is where, you know, that room's pretty interesting, right? It's because people, we talk about stocks all day, every day there. And we give each other tips. We help each other learn. So it's about 100, 150 people in that room, and they're engaged, man. So I love that community, because it's an engaged group of people who consistently push each other up to do better. And that's why that community is so exciting, right? It's because these people, they love each other. They help each other. It's a great, great community, right? Now, I love those guys for that. But if you want to get into that room, just click, you know, you get into that group, you get into that room automatically with the mentorship program. With the mentorship program, you get access to all the live classes, all the free classes, and access to the round table, which is every 2 weeks. We talk about, because it just doesn't end. And I just had a podcast today with somebody, and wealth building doesn't stop and end at stocks, right? It's a lot more to it. We also come up with ways to increase your income. Like every week we talk about a way to increase your income some way, either by increasing your income at work or creating second businesses or creating a whole nother business or creating passive income streams. So we talk about that in that class. Every 2 weeks we have a round table with the mentorship program. We talk about that. But if you're in the mentorship program, you also get access to the Chestnut Checkers room. So there's an $85 package out there that has all the classes you need to get started. So if you need the link to that, just write me and I'll send you a link. So fractional share. Okay, so fractional shares. So you want to know what fractional shares are. It's pretty simple, right? So what a fractional share is let's say, for example, traditionally, Chestnut Checkers is included in the mentorship program. But let's talk a little bit about fractional investing, right? So traditionally, let's say you want to buy one share of Amazon. Amazon's about $3,000 today. If you want the link, DM me and I'll send you the link, Gala. But let's get back to what we're talking about. Is that traditionally, if you wanted one share of Amazon, right, $3,000, you had to come up with the entire $3,000 to be able to get into that stock. A lot of people don't have $3,000. They're like, man, even if I have it, I don't want to put all my money in one stock, right? Actually, it's not a good idea because of diversification. But you may not just don't want to put it all in there. So that's traditionally you had to. That's the only way you could get into stocks like that. Well, the last few years, fractional investing has it's come a little bit more accessible to regular people. So now you could say, look, man, I just want to put $100 into Amazon. I'm not going to put $3,000. I'm going to put $100. Okay. So now you get a percentage of Amazon. You don't get the whole stock. You get a percentage, but you still benefit and you also participate in the gains in the stock, just like if you own one whole share. All right. So take, for example, if Amazon's $3,000, it goes up 10%. You have the whole stock, you make $300 profit, right? But let's say you only get 1/10 of a stock, right? So you put $300 into the stock. So you owe 1/10 of a share of Amazon. So now Amazon stock goes up 10%. You still make $30, 10% of whatever you put in. So you still were able to participate in the percentage gains of the stock without having to put all of your money into that stock. So you still got 10% return on your money, but you didn't have to buy a whole stock to do it. So that's what fractional investing. We'll talk a little bit about dividends and why some companies give dividends, why some don't, right? So it's ways of thinking. Companies have different ways of thinking, right? Some companies say, hey man, we wanna reward people who trusted in us, who believed in us, who bought our stock by returning some of the profits back to each individual person who own shares, right? So they send it back to you, you get some of the shares, share of the profit, right? But other companies like Amazon say, look, man, you know, what's the best way to return value to our shareholders? Well, you can give them a check at the end of the year. I mean, you know, but what we're gonna do is we're not gonna give checks. We're not gonna give dividends. We're gonna take that profit, we're gonna reinvest it back into the company, and we're gonna grow the value of the company, thereby increasing the value of each individual share. And that's how we're gonna repay our shareholders. So it's just a way of thinking, right? So one company says, we're gonna repay our shareholders by paying them directly. Another one says, we're gonna repay them by reinvesting in the company and making the stock price go up, and that's how they're gonna get paid. So it's just two different ways that companies wanna, you know, reward their shareholders. So, like I said, if you have any questions on the mentorship program, any questions on the Chestnut Checkers Room, just DM me, or any questions on any of my classes, if you DM me in Instagram, I'll send you guys a link and we can talk. We can discuss what you know, if you don't know what you need, don't know what classes you want to do, just ask me and I'll make sure we pair you with the right classes in the right order. All right. So like I said, I hope you guys have a great night. Thanks for joining and have a great rest of the night.